Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
So I am grateful and honored to be here amongst all of you at the lotus feet of Srila Prabhupada on the occasion of the sacred day of Srimati Radharani's appearance. I seek the blessings of His Holiness Trivikram Maharaj so that I can try to speak something about Srimati Radharani. So I'll speak about this in three parts. First, I'll talk about the significance of the position of Srimati Radharani. Then I'll talk about some philosophical analysis that demonstrates or that expands on that philosophical significance. And then we'll discuss some pastimes of Srimati Radharani and how they relate with us in our life. The world's many religious theistic traditions talk about God. And when they talk about God, they often talk about Him as an object of reverence, object of devotion, object to surrender to. The bhakti tradition of ancient India takes this understanding much further by giving us a vivid revelation of God. So God is not just one person alone existing somewhere high up there. Now God exists with a whole community of those who love Him and those whom He loves. And that revelation, which comes in the bhakti texts like the Bhagavad Gita, the Srimad Bhagavatam and other esoteric texts, that gives us a very attractive understanding of God as a very loving and lovable person. And whatever relationships we see in this world, those relationships are present in their pure and perennial form with God in the spiritual world. In the Bhagavad Gita, in the 15th chapter, first text, Krishna describes Urdhamulamadhashankhamashvattham prahuravyam chandamsiyasya parananiyastam vedasavetaved. Krishna says that there is an upside down banyan tree whose roots go up and whose branches go down. And normally, where do we see such a tree which is upside down? We can see it in a reflection. So, through this metaphorical words, the Gita conveys that this world is like a reflection of another world. So this world is a reflection and that other world, which is the spiritual world, that is the reality. So, whatever relationships are present in this world, just like if I see a reflected mango, then that means, if I see, there must be a mango in the original, which is being reflected here. So, the relationships that we see in this world, they are present in their pure and perennial form in the spiritual world. And Krishna has many devotees. Now, God can be known by many names. The bhakti tradition gives Him a most inclusive name, reveals Him to be having a most inclusive name, that is Krishna. Krishna means Sarva Akarshati Iti Krishna. One who attracts everyone, that person is Krishna. And how He attracts everyone and how He attracts, how others are attracted to Him, that is revealed through the many leelas that He performs. And the most intimate, the most sweet, the most intense leela, the pastime that He performs, is with His topmost devotees. Among them, Radharani is the highest. Now, before we understand the significance of Radharani's appearance, let us first understand the concept of Leela. Leela is the special revelation about God's activities that is found in the bhakti tradition. Now, the word Leela literally means play or pastime. And God Himself has nothing to do. Natasya karyam karanam cha vidyate. Natat samascha abhyadikascha ushyate. That He is not duty bound to do anything. God does not have to do a 10 to 6 job to earn His living. Now, God is complete in Himself. Om purnamadha purnamidam. And yet, He shares love with his devotees. So, for example, if there is a person who, you know, when people become young, they feel incomplete without a life partner. So they want to form a relationship so that they can gain a sense of completeness. On the other hand, if there's a person who's very wealthy and very charitable, that person has a lot of food and the person gives food in charity. Now, it's not that the person is feeling any incompleteness, but the completeness that they have, they want to share with others. And for that, they form a relationship. So, relationship can be formed to try to avoid incompleteness, or they can be formed to share completeness. So, Krishna, as God, is complete in himself. And he does not need anyone. He is Atma Ram, self-satisfied. But for sharing love, he forms relationships with others. And when he forms relationships, he doesn't want unilateral, unidimensional relationships where he is God and everybody comes down and bows to him. He wants close, intimate relationships. And for that purpose, he arranges the occurrence of Leela. Now, Leela occurs through the energy of God called as Yoga Maya. Yoga Maya is actually a very interesting concept. The Maya is, most of you have heard the word Maya, is the illusory energy that puts us into illusion. In contrast, Yoga is that which connects us with God. Yoga is that which takes us towards spiritual reality. So, Maya is that which takes us away from God. Yoga is that which takes us towards God. So, what is this Yoga Maya two coming together? Now, Yoga Maya, technically, it is an oxymoron. Oxymoron is a figure of speech in which two contradictory ideas are brought together. Say, for example, if somebody says, you know, he's a courageous coward. Now, you can be somebody very courageous, they can be cowardly. How can you have both? So, it is said that suicide is an act of courageous cowardice. It requires courage to want to end one's life. But when one is ending one's life because of frustration and inability to deal with life's problem, that is cowardice. So, suicide is an act of courageous cowardice. So, at first glance, an oxymoron doesn't make sense. But if you think deeply, a deeper idea is conveyed over there. So, Yoga Maya is what? Yoga Maya is... Maya means illusion. Yoga means connection with God. So, Yoga Maya is the illusion that deepens our connection with God. Normally, illusion disconnects us from God, but Yoga Maya is the illusion that deepens our connection with God. And thus, it is by Yoga Maya's arrangement that Yashoda Mai, she thinks that Krishna is my son. Actually, Krishna is the Lord of everyone. Pitaham asya jagato mata dhata pitam. He is the Lord of everyone. But it is because of Yoga Maya, Yashoda thinks that if I don't feed Krishna, he will starve. He may even die. Actually, it is Krishna who is the Annadata for everyone. But that is a Yoga Maya. And when Yoga Maya is there, there is intensification of love. When Yashoda feels, oh, I have to take care of Krishna. And that intensifies her love. And Krishna wants this. Krishna doesn't want everyone just to adore him. So, within this relationship, Krishna has a mother, Krishna has a father, Krishna has a brother. And like that, Krishna also has a consort. And his consort is Srimati Radharani. Now, Srimati Radharani is the topmost devotee of Krishna in the amorous relationship with him. In the conjugal relationship with him. So before we understand the concept of Leela further in terms of the relationship between Radharani and Krishna, let's try to understand this Leela further. Yashoda Mai gets angry with Krishna. She says, I will tie you up. I will punish you. So how can she do that? Thank you. How can she do that? You know, if God, Krishna is God, how can she do that? Leela is like a play. Or we could call it a drama. Usually the word drama conveys something unreal, but this is a supreme reality. So now in the drama that is being performed, that is Leela, Krishna is the main hero. And Yoga Maya is the director. Now, director is the person who directs. Okay, you do like this, you do like this, you do like this. So Yoga Maya directs everyone. Yoga Maya directs
Yashoda to think that Krishna is her son. And Yogamaya directs Krishna to think, oh, my mother is angry with me, she'll beat me, then what will happen to me? No, I cannot be beaten. He becomes scared. So, now, normally the hero is directed by the director. So the hero cannot act any way they want. Now they have to be act according to the director's control. So Yogamaya directs Krishna. Now if Yogamaya is directing Krishna, then how is Krishna God? How is he in control? You know, at the start of the Radharani's only mention comes in the Srimad Bhagavatam indirectly in one pastime. That is the Rasalila. And that is chapter 29 to 33 of the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. And that section begins with describing how Krishna, he takes shelter of Yogamaya. Yogamaya mupashritaha. That he takes shelter of Yogamaya. Actually, the whole world takes shelter of Krishna. He is the ashraya, the supreme shelter. How can he take shelter of Yogamaya? So that taking shelter of Yogamaya means that he is basically allowing himself to be directed by Yogamaya. So in that sense, he is taking shelter. But how is he in control if he is directed by Yogamaya? See, a director basically directs a play or directs a movie, whatever it is. But the director directs according to the script that is written by a script writer. So, in Krishna Leela, Krishna is the hero, Yogamaya is the director. But Krishna is also the script writer. So, Yogamaya directs Krishna according to Krishna's will. So, in that sense, Krishna is not in control because he's being directed by Yogamaya. And he's also in control because Yogamaya is directing him according to his own will. So, this is the mystery of Krishna Leela. And in this Krishna Leela, when Krishna performs pastimes with his devotees, the devotee with whom he performs the most intense pastime, that is Radharani. So, now, I have a friend who is from a traditional Vaishnava background. He told that you Hare Krishnas, you got it all wrong. He said that when you refer to Krishna, you have no honorific, no Bhagwan, no honorific, no honorific, no Bhagwan Krishna, no Sri Krishna. You just say Krishna. And when you are referring to Radha, you have double honorific. You have Srimati and you have Rani also. So, why like this? Why do you have Srimati, Radha, Rani and only Krishna? So, actually, Srila Prabhupada, founder Acharya of ISKCON, he wanted us to approach God in a realistic as well as a reverential way. So he the way he taught about Krishna, Krishna is God, but Krishna is also an approachable friend. The devotees who were with Prabhupada, they felt that Krishna is a real, living, loving person who would help them if they try to serve him. And that eminent approachability of God in his manifestation as Krishna, that Srila Prabhupada conveyed by referring to Krishna without any honorifics. Now, philosophically speaking, Srila Prabhupada actually coined an English word, practically speaking, to convey the position of Krishna, that is, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And Prabhupada did not compromise in conveying the position of Krishna. But, in order to develop a relationship, Prabhupada emphasized that Krishna is a living, loving person who will respond to our calls. That's why he would often refer to Krishna just as Krishna. But whenever he was talking about philosophy, he would stress Krishna's position very clearly. Now, in contrast, Srila Prabhupada referred to Radha by the double honorific Srimati Radharani because Radha's position is often misunderstood. Many people think that the Radha-Krishna relationship is just like a normal male-female relationship. Sometimes a couple who is romantically involved, they come to the temple, they come to the altar and they see Radha Krishna. And they think, oh, there's a couple there and here's a couple here. Now, it's not similar. It's a divine relationship. It's a spiritual relationship. So, actually, to emphasize that Radha is not just an ordinary woman, Prabhupada used the double honor, like Srimati Radharani. She is the supreme goddess of fortune. And she is the topmost devotee of Krishna. So when Krishna performs pastimes with his devotees, among all the devotees, they all want to love and serve Krishna, and Krishna reciprocates by wanting to love and serve them, love and take care of them. So in this relationship between Krishna and Radharani, in Krishna and his devotees, the devotee who serves him the most intimately, who most sweetly, that is Srimati Radharani. Now, when we talk about God in the spiritual world, so earlier I mentioned how this world is like a reflection of the spiritual world. So whatever relationships are present in this world, they are present in their pure and perennial form in the spiritual world. So among all relationships in this world, the male-female relationship is the most intense. It is the most consuming. And where does this relationship come from? Its original form is in the spiritual world. That is the relationship between the divine couple, Radha and Krishna. Or we have Sita and Ram, we have Lakshmi and Narayan. So the relationships in this world are reflections of those relationships. And when Krishna performs his pastime with Srimati Radharani, Krishna's body is spiritual, Radharani's body is spiritual. Their loving relationship is also entirely spiritual. And that is why when the Srimad Bhagavatam describes the most intimate pastimes of Radha and Krishna in the Rasa Leela, that is chapters 29 to 33, at the end of it, there is a very amazing verse. That verse is Vikriditam Rajavadhubiridam Javishno Shaddhanvito Anushrunayadatavarnayedya Bhaktim Param Bhagavati Pratilabhya Kamam Rudrogamashva Pahinotya Chirena Dhiraha. So the whole Rasa Leela is being described, how Krishna and Radharani meet and they perform, they dance together, they sing together. Normally, when people go and watch a romantic movie, then their own desires for doing something similar are triggered. They are heightened. And often people go to heighten their own passionate desires when they watch such movies, scenes or movies, whatever they are. So some people might think the Rasa Leela is something similar. But then the result of this is described here. If somebody hears the Rasa Leela, what will be the result? Vikriditam Vrajavadhubhir Idam Cha Vishnu. Vikriditam, the play with Vrajavadhubhir, with the Vadhus, with the cowherd damsels of Vrindavan. Idam Cha Vishnu. This person, don't think him to be just an ordinary boy. He's not just a boy, he is Vishnu, he is the supreme god. And what these pastimes that Krishna performs with the gopis, Shraddhanvito Anushrunayad Athavarnayedya. Shraddhanvito, with Shraddha, with faith, if someone hears them, Shrunayad Athavarnayedya, if they hear or they speak this, what will happen? Rudrogam Ashva Apahinoti. Actually, Bhaktim Param Bhagavati Pratilabhya Kamam. Bhaktim Param Bhagavati. One will get attraction to Krishna. One's bhakti for Krishna will increase. And when the bhakti for Krishna increases, the second consequence of it is that kamam. Kamam means selfish desire centered on lust. Rudrogam. That is like a disease of the heart. It makes us attached to this world. Apahinoti. That will be destroyed. Achirena. Dhiraha. Achirena. Very soon. Dhiraha. And the person will become sober. So, the Bhagavatam is saying that by hearing the Rasa Leela, the attractions of this world, the selfish desires, the karma, that will diminish and go away. Now, normally speaking, as I said, if people hear male-female interactions, their karma increases. But here the Bhagavatam says by hearing this, karma will decrease. How does that make sense? That can only make sense if this is something different from karma. This is not karma. So going back to the earlier example of a reflection. In the reflection, suppose a person sees a mango within the reflection. And they think, oh, this mango looks so delicious. I want to go and eat this mango. I want to go and eat this mango. And they go and try to eat it. And they just go and they don't find any mango. They jump into the river And they look, where is the mango? There's no mango. And they go deep into the river, say it's shallow, they just bang their head and injure themselves. They wonder what is happening. And then if someone lifts their head up, don't look there, look up there. And they say, oh, there's a tree over there, there's a mango over there. Then the more they understand that the mango is up there, they'll start climbing up and they lose interest in the reflection. Isn't it? Because we understand this is the reflection, that is the reality. So, the male-female attraction that is there in this world, that is like the reflected mango. And the relationship of the divine couple Radha and Krishna, that is like the real mango. So, most people in this world, they are attracted to this reflected mango. You know, the movies, the novels, they are all talking about how we can enjoy through the relationship of this world. They talk about achiye, happily ever after. Now, if you see the Bhagavad Gita tells us, Dukkhale Mashashvatam. This is exactly the opposite of happily ever after. The movies tell us that we can just enjoy and live happily in this world and live happily forever. But the Bhagavad Gita tells us this word is Dukkhale, which is the opposite of happiness, and Ashashvatam, which is the opposite of ever after. Now, the Bhagavad Gita is not a spoil sport. It is not a party popper, as they say. It's not here to tell us that we cannot be happy in this world. It is there to tell us how we can be happy in this world. So, the relationships of this world are a reflection. That does not mean they are to be rejected or that they are false. But they are to be connected with the reality. I'll come to that part a little later. But suffice it to say that as soon as a person understands this is a real mango, then they will not chase after the reflection. So similarly, when the Bhagavatam says that by hearing Krishna's pastimes with the gopis faithfully, Shraddhanvito Anushunayad, Srila Prabhupada explains the word Anu. Anu means systematically. It means hearing in parampara, hearing from proper spiritual authorities who know the subject. So when we hear from these spiritual authorities properly, then what happens? We understand, the relationship with Krishna, that is like the real mango. And the relationships in this world, they are like the reflected mango. And as soon as we understand this, what will happen? We will try to go toward the real mango. And will not stay so infatuated with the reflected mango. The same way it is saying over here, if we hear the pastimes of Radha and Krishna, then Bhaktim Param Bhagavati Pratilabhyakam, Bhaktim Param Bhagavati, our attraction to Krishna, to the real mango will increase. And the attraction to the reflected mango, this karma, that will be dissipated. Apahinoti, that will be dissipated. So, the Krishna's pastimes with the gopis, and especially Krishna's pastimes with Radharani, they demonstrate the summit of love. The love that we seek in this world, that is found in its purest and fullest form, in the relationship with Krishna. And how do we actually define love? Now, love is often equated with sensuality, sensual satisfaction. But that is very peripheral. The defining characteristic of love is selflessness. The defining characteristic of love is selflessness. And externally, the love of Krishna and the gopis, or Krishna and Radha, that might seem like a mundane male-female attraction. But this is characterized, it is defined by the topmost selflessness. So, once Narad Muni, who is a great sage, he wanted to find out who is the topmost devotee. And he went to Krishna. And he asked Krishna only, please tell me who is your topmost devotee. Krishna said, you know, if I tell you, you won't believe me. He says, you test for yourself. He says, how can I test? Krishna says that I have got a headache. Okay, what can I do for you? You know, when we love someone, we want to relieve them if they are having any discomfort. He says, what can I do? Can I get some medicine for you? says, yes, I need a medicine, but only one medicine will work for my headache. What is that? He says that that is the dust of my devotee's lotus feet. Bhagavani is shocked. He thinks, how is this possible? He says, go and ask my various devotees whether they will give their dust.
Yeah.
So Bhagavani goes to different devotees in different parts of the world. He says, Krishna has got a headache. Please give the dust of your feet. He says, they are all concerned when they hear that Krishna has a headache. But when they hear that Krishna, that we should give the dust of our feet, it's impossible. Says, how can you do that? Like if we go on the altar, we are very, very careful. We touch Krishna not only with our hands, just with the will, but actually we will touch Krishna after washing our hands, after doing Achman properly. So we, Krishna is supremely sacred and we need to be pure while approaching Him. So actually there is a reverential way to deal with sacred objects. And that centers on, we don't touch sacred objects with our feet. So what to speak of? Giving something which has touched our feet to Krishna. So the devotees, all the devotees said, no, we cannot give the dust of our feet to Krishna to put on his head as a medicine for his headache. Oh, yes, that will be such a great offense. Krishna is our worshipable Lord. If we commit such offense, we'll go to hell. Then Narad Muni goes all around and he asks all different kinds of devotees. Nobody's willing. Finally, he thinks, oh, these gopis, I have heard they are also devotees of Krishna. He will go and ask them. So he goes to them and he asks, Krishna has got a headache. Okay. The gopis are horrified. Krishna has got a headache. He says, what can you do? What can we do? How can we relieve the headache? He says, Krishna needs the dust of your feet. So immediately the gopis run to Jamuna. They put their legs in the Jamuna water, get it out, and they move their head in the Vraja dust. And their whole legs become filled with dust. And they get a big cloth and they take the dust out and they put it all. He says, take a big bag of dust. So the Narad Muni starts thinking, these gopis are illiterate. They don't know any philosophy. So they are not understanding what they are doing. So Narad Muni tells the gopis, do you know that Krishna is God? And if you touch the dust of your lotus feet touches Krishna's head, you will go to hell. So the gopis say, we know that. But for us, the thought that Krishna is having a headache, that is hell for us. To relieve him of that headache for even one moment, we are ready to go to hell forever. Now, now stop wasting time, go to Krishna immediately. So Narad Muni sees this utter selflessness of Krishna's love, of the gopis' love for Krishna. Then he goes back when Krishna tells that, you know, if I had told you the gopis are my topmost devotees, you would have thought, oh, there are so many sages, there is so much tapasya. You would not have believed. But now you understood that the selflessness means they are not concerned about anything except the service of Krishna, except how we can please Krishna. What can we do for Krishna? That is the level of their love for Krishna. And within this, so I talked about Yogamaya earlier, the gopis know at the background, back of their head, that Krishna is God. You know, God cannot get a headache. You know, God relieves everyone's headaches. You know, God doesn't get a headache. But within Leela, for the intensification of love, Krishna acts as if he's got a headache. And the gopis know that Krishna is God, but because of their love, that knowledge goes in the background. So the acharyas give the example that just as in the daytime also, stars are there in the sky. But because the sun is so bright, that the stars cannot be seen. So like that for the gopis, the stars are like the knowledge of Krishna's supreme position. But in the sky of their heart, the sun of love for Krishna shines bright. And because of that love for Krishna, the awareness that Krishna is God goes into the background. And they don't focus on the reality that Krishna is God. They think Krishna is our Lord. He's our lover. He's our master. We want to serve Him. We want to do whatever we can for Him. And that? Okay. So, with this understanding, we can appreciate that among all these gopis, the topmost is Srimati Radharani. She is the supreme embodiment of selfless service attitude. Her only concern is how to love Krishna, how to serve Krishna, how to please Krishna. And actually, it is in such selfless service that we get the supreme happiness. Now, in material world, to be selfless is to have less for the self. In the material world, if I become selfless, I give some money in charity, I may think, oh, I have less money. If I give some food, then I have less food. But in love, it is not like that. In love, when we give the more to Krishna, the more Krishna manifests in our heart. The more we become enriched from within with Krishna's presence. And that brings the supreme satisfaction. So we can come to God and we can tell God, no, I have this problem, please solve this problem. I have this problem, solve this problem. So that is one level of approaching God. But that is a very utilitarian way. Where we basically have a transactional relationship with God. But a more pure and more fulfilling relationship is a relationship of selfless service. Now, Srila Prabhupada started this whole movement called the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Now, when I first heard about the society more than 20 years ago, I just couldn't make sense. You know, Krishna is spiritual, consciousness is scientific. What is Krishna consciousness? And why do we need an international society for that? I just couldn't figure it out. But when I read Srila Prabhupada's books, I understood that we all have consciousness. But our consciousness doesn't have a home. No, we build a home for our body where we get security, we get some comfort. But our consciousness, our heart is homeless. Our heart does not get shelter. The biggest lacking in this world is the lacking of a satisfactory object of thought. We are always thinking of things, but the things that we think of, often they agitate us. They make us bored, they make us frustrated, they make us dissatisfied. What we all need most is a satisfying object of thought. If we had a satisfying object of thought, we would be satisfied wherever we are. And Krishna is the supremely satisfying object of thought. The more we think about Krishna, the more we'll become naturally satisfied. So, what we need to do is develop the consciousness of Krishna. The more we learn to think about Krishna, the more satisfaction will become our natural state. So, our heart is longing for a home, and that home is at Krishna's lotus feet. And Radharani demonstrates how to keep one's heart always at Krishna's lotus feet. So when we learn to love and serve Krishna and practice bhakti, the topmost example of bhakti is Srimati Radharani. And on the day of her appearance, she is profusely merciful. So when we pray to her for her mercy, she blesses us with enormously increased attraction for Krishna. And in that attraction for Krishna, we become automatically satisfied. So that's how we can pray to Srimati Radharani on her appearance day, that please give me a draw of your devotion. Thank you very much. Srimati Radharani ki. Radha Ashtami Mahamahotsav ki.